Okay, so this is, you want to go by Katie or Kate? This is the place to announce it right now.
Oh, gosh. Katie?
Sorry. Katie? All right, we're doing Katie. It's, I think it's interchangeable for you, is it not?
It is.
It is, okay. So this is Katie Driscoll. Everybody say hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
All right. Katie, if you don't know the story, a couple of years ago, before COVID started, we started looking for an associate pastor. And we did some searching. Didn't find a lot that made us go, yep, that's the one. And so we kind of stopped. We did. We chose to stop. And then God, I think, had another plan. And I believe it to be this young lady right here, although we shall see. No pressure, anything, yeah. We shall see. So she's here today to present a message. We hope that it is a blessing to you, that it lifts your hearts and minds, that it draws you closer to Him. And then if you have time today, whether you're a member or not, there's a potluck after this, after church today. Please come. Just so we have more faces to stare at her and grill her. It'll be great. If you're going to deal with me, you got it. Okay. So I'm going to pray over her real quick, and then I'm just going to get out of her way and let God do stuff with her. You ready? All right. Father God, we are so thankful for Katie. We're thankful that she made a safe trip here for the most part. She ran out of gas in Bell Fountain, by the way, just so you know. We are thankful that you have guided her to this time and this place to speak in your name. Lord, we know that you have great plans for her. We know that she is your child through and through. And we are excited to see where you take her, whether it be with us or not with us. We still believe that you have great things planned for her. And we are thankful for the opportunity to know her. Lord God, we pray that you will give her clear, ready recollection, that you will guide her spirit and help her speak your words as she moves through this lesson she has prepared today. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Like Pastor Rob said, I did have an exciting time getting here. And I think it's actually going to tie in with my message for today, which maybe that was God saying, here, you need an extra story for today, so you're going to go through this. So, yeah. So I was leaving from kind of later in the day than I had planned, and I had to go get some gas. And I went to get gas, and this was back home, and my card got declined. So there's been a weird issue with my bank app. So sometimes, because especially where I've been traveling the whole summer, I've been everywhere, and I guess my bank freaked out and decided, oh, that's not you. You can't get gas. So I was like, oh, no. So I had some cash, and I was able to use that, and I guess I underestimated how much cash I needed. And so I'm getting there, and I'm like 8 minutes away from where I'm supposed to get to in Bell Fountain. And then all of a sudden, my gas light goes, bing. I said, oh, no. So then I was able to get to a gas station because everything is actually very close around here compared to where I live, where everything is a lot farther away. So that was also a blessing. I was like, oh, this is nice. And then I met some cool people working at the gas station, and they gave me a rewards card. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of new here, and so it was kind of fun. So I made some new friends. I got gas. We all made it, and it's going to tie in with what I'm talking about today. So it worked out for good, right? And it's a cool story. There's always some funny story that I have with wherever I've been or any kind of adventures. So if you have questions and you want to hear about something really incredibly random or funny that happened to me, I have plenty. But yes, my name is Katie, and I go by Kate or Katie. That's just how I've been since that size. I'm the oldest of four. I have two brothers in the middle and then a baby sister. And our parents are teachers at a Christian boarding school in Jackson and health directors, and they also pastor and minister in the community in Jackson. So if you've never heard of Jackson, what I usually say is raise your hand if you've been to Lexington. Ever heard of Lexington, Kentucky, Rep Arena, all that? Okay. All right. You just go about 2 hours south, and you will blink, and you probably passed it, but that's okay. And then one of kind of the unfortunate ways that people now know about Jackson is that's the place where all the East Kentucky flooding happened last summer. So it's either, oh, just go south from Lexington, or, hey, do you remember when that flood happened? That's me right there. So that's where we've lived. We work at Bethel Camp, which is a place where my parents are camp pastors. My siblings and I have done all kinds of different things there. We love that camp. We have a lot of friends from that area and all over, and it's one of our favorite places to be. I also was a teacher at Riverside Christian School. I taught 5th and 6th grade, and we had a lot of fun in class. We raised chicks, so that was a lot of fun, having, like, you know, 10 kids and then like 10 chicks, like, in one room. It's actually a good way to entertain them when I'm trying to do something else for a minute. It's like, just go watch the chicks. That's what actually they would ask. They would get their work done. Like, can I go stare at the chicks? Yes, go stare at the chicks. Stop staring at him, go stare at the chicks. Okay, you're fine. So it was a lot of fun. And so also thank you guys so much for giving to the school and praying for the school. I know that means a lot to them. I got to go see their new building last week, and they are doing a great job getting it all ready. They're really excited because their classrooms are so much bigger, because the school that had been there before had like 30 kids in a room, and so now they have like these giant rooms that they're like, what do we do with this? So they're having some really creative things that they are working on there, so I'm super happy for them to get that. So thank you so much for supporting them and helping them out. So we're just going to go ahead and get started. So if you have your Bibles, if you would please open up to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. So this will be kind of the focus verse for today. So you planned evil against me, and God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many. Genesis 50:20. And this is Joseph speaking to his brothers after many years of hardship and heartbreak. And so Joseph's story has really kind of helped me in a lot of things from my past couple years. And I just wanted to share that with you all today and just kind of show you the things that Jesus has been teaching me through this story. So, have you ever had a hardship? Maybe. If you say no, we'll talk about lying another time. But you've ever just had your heart broken, you know, your favorite team lost, like by 1 point, or anything else that was very sad. Suffering, you've just had a really rough time. You had a really bad Monday. I like to think Tuesdays are actually worse than Mondays, because Monday you're like, yeah, fresh start, we're gonna go, and then Tuesday's like, just kidding, we're not there. So sometimes you have rough days. So we've all had that. We've all gone through a lot of hard times. And Joseph, if you've read this story, has gone through a lot. He had a lot of really bad things happen to him. And somehow, we are going to try to figure out, how did he go from, what you planned evil against me, God used it for good. So how did he go from all this really bad things, all these bad things that happened, to actually it all worked out for good? Because that is not always easy for us to say when we have those bad things. It's hard to look at the sunny side. Like when you're going through hard times and somebody says, just try to look at the positive thing, and you're like, I'm looking at something right now. It's not very positive. So Joseph's story starts from Genesis 37 all the way to Genesis 50. So Joseph was the youngest of Jacob or Israel, and there were 12 sons. He was the baby of the family, and he was the favorite. So if you have, like, the baby sibling in your family, that might resonate with you a little bit. Like, sometimes they feel like the favorite because they're so cute, you know. So he was the youngest, and he was given a colorful coat. He was given all of this attention, and he was, all of his brothers were like, okay, great. And so while they were all working in the fields, doing all the other grunt work, Joseph was just kind of having the time of his life. And then Joseph is given dreams. God gives him dreams about things to come. But Joseph, who I believe was about in his teens at the time, did not know that that was like how long that was going to be. So he decides he's going to tell everybody about these cool dreams, about how he's going to be in charge of everyone. So imagine your baby sibling goes up to you and says, I'm going to be in charge of you one day. And you've been working in a hot field all day. And the last thing you want to hear is your annoying little sibling going, I'm going to be in charge of you. Nah, 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 nah. Because he probably said it like that. I don't know that for sure. But if I could imagine. So that did not go well. And then he had another dream, and it had to do with his parents. And so he told his parents. And even though he was the favorite, his parents were like, I don't know. So we have all this happening. So Joseph is unfortunately having all this family tension building up. And then at some point, his brothers decide that they've had enough. And so they throw Joseph into a pit, take his coat, and then they sell him to be a slave. And then they go home, and they're like, oh no, Joseph died. Sorry. So he gets betrayed, and then he gets sold into slavery. And so then he ends up in Egypt, in Potiphar's house. And actually he ends up doing kind of a good job as a slave. And then Potiphar kind of puts him in charge of a lot of things, and takes good care of him, and things seem to be going okay. It's like, all right, this is good. And then Potiphar's wife decides to make some unwise decisions. And then so she tries to hit on Joseph, and Joseph says, no, thank you. And she decides to accuse him of trying to attack her, and then he gets thrown in jail because nobody believes the slave. So he gets thrown in jail. And so now he's in kind of another pit. He went from one pit to another one. And so now he's in jail. And then he finds out in jail, he actually is good at being a prisoner. I mean, be like Joseph. He can be good in anything, I guess. And so Joseph becomes a good prisoner. And so the jailer kind of puts him in charge of all the other prisoners. And so then he's doing well there, and things are going well. And then all of a sudden, two of his prison mates have these really weird dreams. And so then Joseph realizes, oh, I had some dreams way back then. And so he knew that God had given him those dreams. And so he knew that God could help them with those dreams. So he interprets the dreams. The cupbearer gets a dream that he's going to get out of jail. The baker gets a dream that he is not going to get out of jail. And after Joseph interprets for them, the cupbearer is released and brought back into Pharaoh's court. The baker is unfortunately executed. And Joseph tells the cupbearer, hey, tell Pharaoh about me. And the cupbearer said, okay. And then 2 years later, the cupbearer just forgot. And then Pharaoh has some dreams. And then when he talks about those dreams, the cupbearer says, oh, wait. There was a guy a couple years ago in jail. He told me about dreams. Oh, we should invite him back. So they go and they get Joseph. And after he's been in prison for a long time, he gets brought to Pharaoh's court. And he's able to interpret the dreams. And then he gets put into even higher, next to Pharaoh, job. And so things are going well. And so they have 7 years of prosperity. And then they have 7 years of famine. And so during the famine, we have kind of what I like to call the trauma buildup, because his brothers suddenly show up into his life and they don't recognize him, but he definitely recognizes them. So have you ever been in a place where you kind of forgot about something that happened and then something just triggers it and then everything in you just kind of goes, like, it just like all bubbles up and it's like you forgot it was there and then suddenly it's right there in front of you? If I was Joseph, that would probably be how I would feel. And so he has to deal with his brothers, and so they go through this process, and Joseph is trying to test them a little bit, and then he chooses to forgive them at the end. And that's where we find our verse where he said, you planned evil against me, but God planned it for good, to bring about the good, the survival of many people. So where do we find Joseph? So I have 3 points kind of that I got from the story that I would like to share with you. So God takes our suffering and he produces goodness. So Joseph had been betrayed, he'd been trafficked, he'd been accused, he went through a whole lot of things, thrown in jail. And then, so we've all been in those places where we feel like it just keeps coming, no matter what. You cannot catch a break. And you get to those places, when you're in those places, you feel pretty helpless, you feel angry, you feel upset, you feel exhausted, and you just don't know how much more you can take. We don't see that part of Joseph's story, but we can probably easily believe or imagine that it's there. But what we do notice is that God kept showing kindness to Joseph. He gave him favor in every situation he was in. Even the places that he still had bad things happen, God still made sure he was protected. He was given good standing in jobs, so that protected him from however Egyptian life was for a slave could be. He was still protected. God watched over where he was in the pit. We don't know how long he was in the pit. We don't know what animal could have maybe found him or anything. Like, God protected him and showed little bits of kindness in everywhere that he went in that story. And then we see where Joseph keeps, even in those places, he still shows that he believes in God, right? So when Potiphar's wife is trying to tempt him and he says, I'm not sinning against God, he could have been like, you know, because he was thrown in a pit, right? He had all these bad things happen. He could have just easily just thrown his faith out and just forgot about it. But he chose not to. He chose to continue to be obedient to God. When he was interpreting dreams, he was showing that it was God's power and not his. He was still showing that he still believed in God from no matter where he was. Then we can see that suffering can cause us either to shut down or we can allow the goodness to overflow. Joseph had every right to be angry. He had every right to retaliate. He had every right to be a big jerk, is an easy way to put it. And he decided to keep being faithful to God. He was still showing kindness to his master, showing kindness to the prisoners, like kindness to lots of people, people who were mean to him. Like, they were harsh with him. They were betraying him, a lot of different things. And he decided, instead of pushing back and causing more chaos, that he was going to choose healing. He was going to choose being kind and being faithful. And he also learned to surrender to God's process of working out the good. When we're in those times where it feels like we keep getting hit over and over and over, we can also get hard towards God and get really stubborn to his process, where we can say, no, I'm just going to not do that. Or like, if you are having a really bad day and then you go to Walmart and somebody like cuts you off with their buggy or something, you were already having a bad day, so you're tempted to just go ahead and just lash out at that person who has no idea how your day went. Or you can just take a breath and just let it go. And so that's where Joseph was. He was choosing to take that breath and to give it into God's hands instead of taking it and causing more strife. We also see that God's goodness cannot be stopped. God had already spoken something over Joseph, and Joseph, who didn't understand the timing at that time, but God brought that back to him in prison. So when he's sitting in prison and he's hearing these guys talk about dreams, I imagine then that triggered all the dreams that he had in the past, and he can remember how God worked through that, how God spoke to him through that, and God used that gift to help others. And so God took what he had already spoken, and he brought it back. So we also know that God is faithful to do what he has promised, to do what he has said. So another favorite verse of mine is, which is one a lot of people say, a lot of times, especially in hard times, is Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good of him, those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So Joseph had all this stuff that happened, and God took it and protected him and provided for him in all those places and brought good out of it. He brought forgiveness and reconciliation with the brothers. And this morning, as I was kind of looking over the verses, I looked at the verse 19 before verse 20, where Joseph said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" And I thought about how Joseph could have made them very afraid. He did kind of make them afraid when he like threatened to take Benjamin. So he did pick on them a little bit, but they are brothers. So makes sense. But he still said, "You don't have to be afraid, because I'm not going to hurt you. You hurt me, but I'm not going to choose that path." So a lot of Joseph's story just has really helped me over the couple years to choose forgiveness, to trust God's process when we're in those places where we feel like we can't catch a break, that he's going to work it out for good. Even if I can't see it right now, I can't see it, I can't remember it from whenever it happened in the past, but I have to believe that whatever it will come up sometime in the future, and that it will be good, and that there will be healing. So, a little bit about my story is, so we had our first flood in 2021, I believe. So we had our first flood, and that was pretty rough. And then right after that flood, I had a lot of arguments and fights with friends that just kind of kept happening no matter where I went. And that was a really hard time. And then before this past flood, I had a friend suddenly pass away. And then we had a flood happen. And then the next day after the flood, I found out that another friend had suddenly passed away. And that was kind of where, for me, my shutdown happened, unfortunately. That's when I just got really angry. I can vividly remember that time when I looked at my phone and found that out. And I was like, "Okay, God, that's enough. Like, I don't want any more. Thank you." Then after that flood and that, we had tragedies from friends and family that just kind of kept happening, and with just a lot of stuff that just kept coming over and over and over. And like, I was seeing my friends hurting. I was seeing my family hurting. I was seeing all these things happen. And then because of going through two floods and a lot of other stuff, I started struggling a lot with PTSD, and where I would, any time it would storm in the night and it would wake me up, my brain would just freak out, and I would just be very unsettled and grumpy the entire day. Because in my head I kept thinking, "Oh, it's flooding, oh, it's flooding." My brain just kept going that way, which wasn't thankfully always the case, but I was struggling with that. And then when we have trauma that from our past that we don't deal with or don't choose to progressively deal with, that builds up. So I was having things from when I was like a kid and things like that were suddenly coming up and just putting all on the spotlight. And so it was all of this stuff. I was having all these things happen with friends and family, things that were happening with me, physical, catastrophic things that were happening. And that was really hard because I felt like I could not get a break. And there were a lot of times where I was angry with God. I was confused. But in those times where I can now step back and see his kindness, I can see where he put people like literally in my path on my hardest days. And they would suddenly be like, "Hey, let's go get coffee." Or, "Hey, I'm going to pray with you." Or they would suddenly say something that I totally needed to hear at that exact moment. With the flooding, we saw volunteers from all over just show up. Our camp cafeteria was covered in bottles of water and food and like all kinds of things, and how God was taking care of those needs. He was working in me. So on the times when I was struggling, there were times that I would just feel his presence extra, and he would just remind me either with his word or with a song or just anything that I'm right here with you. So, and then even, you know, as I'm driving to Bell Fountain, and I'm like, my gas tank is running empty, Jesus. I need to do something quick. and he got me right to where I needed to be and took care of it. And I'm pretty sure if I could imagine, like, sometimes I feel like I can, like, almost imagine hearing him saying, I really wish you would trust me more. And it's like, yeah, you're right. So I hope that today that we can encourage that through Joseph's story, that instead of retaliating with our anger, with our bitterness, with all the hard things, instead of letting that overpower us and keep us shut in, that we can choose to trust that God is faithful, that he's right there with us and carrying us, and he's going to make it all work for good. So thank you all so much for having me hang out with you today. Appreciate it.